We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to Inside Mizzou Athletics, presented by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. Now, here is your host, Mike Kelly.
I'm Mike Kelly, the voice of the Missouri Tigers. Welcome to this week's Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast, brought to you by our friends at Shelter Insurance. Coming up, we will hear from Tigers football coach Barry Odom. His team loses for the first time this season, falling to Georgia 43-29 as the second-ranked team in the country takes advantage of a litany of Missouri mistakes to win the game. We will also introduce you to offensive analyst Garrick McGee and defensive analyst Ted Monachino, the former Tiger. And you'll hear from another former Tiger, Mike Owens, who has taken on the role of trying to raise funds to build new practice fields for the Missouri football program. All that coming up right here on the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast, brought to you by our friends at Shelter Insurance.
It's the place there's no place else like, home. It's the circle of chairs around your fire pit, where all the do you remembers get passed around like bowls of ice cream. It's bacon and eggs in the skillet, crackling along with the laughter. It's the picture in the hall of your great-grandfather, whose mustache he willed to your son.
At Shelter Insurance, we don't just insure your home, we insure all the memories that live inside it. Find an agent near you at shelterinsurance.com. We're your shield, we're your shelter.
Mizzou's football team now 3-1. Tigers enter a bye week this week after losing to second-ranked Georgia 43-29. Here's my weekly conversation with Tigers head coach Barry Odom.
Tough loss. We go into one of the best teams in the country, and you don't have to be perfect playing against them, but you've got to be able to minimize and eliminate mistakes and self-inflicted things that really – at the end of the day, does that affect the outcome of the game? You never know what play, is it play 12 or play 45 or what it is that's going to either through momentum or field position or those things that all the details of finding a way to win a game. And we weren't able to capitalize on a couple opportunities. And then we had some very, very crucial mistakes. Starting with a punt block for a touchdown, and then our turnover margin. We gave them three more opportunities just by turning the ball over. It's hard to win against anybody, much less a really good team, when those aren't in your favor.
Yeah, first possession of the game, you force a turnover and get an interception, driving the ball downfield. Then Albert Okwuegbunam is stripped. They scoop it up. By the way, had enough for the first down, he did. They scoop it up, return it 64 yards for the touchdown to take the lead. You battle right back and tie the game. They give up their first rushing touchdown, coach, since the national semifinals against Oklahoma. They had not given up a rushing touchdown since then. They take a lead on a field goal, and then you have a pass interception, return to the 7. and then the punt block, and you put yourself in a hole against a really, really good team.
Yeah, it's you can't, you know, and they are a good team, and they apply pressure in really every situation. But I thought that, you know, early on for sure, our defense played so well against the run. We did some things and got put in adverse situations, and they responded pretty well early on, and especially, you know, forcing a field goal at times. I thought our offense was able to run the ball, and that was something that we had a little bit of concern with going into the game, just on the line of scrimmage. But I thought at the end of it, and again going through the video a couple times, you know, it wasn't times that we were out physical. So that's a good thing that we're going to build on, the ability for a number of guys to step in at the tailback spot and run tough and run hard. And I think, you know, you score four running touchdowns against that group. That means that you're able to run the ball and you're doing some things well at the point of attack blocking wise. But for us to be our best, we can't have a tip ball return down inside the five for, you know, with an interception. Again, the punt block, that can't happen. If we can overcome those and continue to put those things in our favor, we've got a chance of being a pretty good ball team.
You and I talked Friday night, and one of the things you were curious about is how they would defend downfield, and they kept two safeties back, trying to keep everything in front of them throughout the course of the game. Drew throws for 221, does not have a touchdown pass. Receivers had a hard time getting open. How much of that was coverage, and how much of that was just not being able to beat man coverage?
Well, I think there were some one-on-one matchups that at times we had an advantage and didn't have time for him to get progressively to the read.
Right.
Also, they did a nice job in changing up the coverage. They always had at least one in the middle of the field deep that was overlapping, usually 84 for us.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times structurally, they kept, like you said, two high safeties with pretty solid underneath coverage. So we've got to make sure, and we did as the game went on, we've got to make sure that we find out, you know, if you play that way over and over, you're going to find, whether it's the back leaking out of the backfield or there's going to be a linebacker on one of our receivers or tight ends, which we got to be able to make that matchup work in our favor. So there were times that we had some things we weren't able to connect with. Also, credit to them, they did a nice job. They recruited well on some of the guys they had out there playing, you know, pass defense. But we know that structurally we're going to get a lot of different looks because of Drew's ability, and we've got to continue to move forward to have answers for everything that we get.
Speaking of his ability, as you know, because of where he is in his career, he's being evaluated on each and every snap. And as you said after the game, he's earned the right to be evaluated like that. So your message to him after a game like that, in which statistically it was his least productive day since the Purdue game last year, what was your message to your quarterback?
Well, I told him, you know, it's never as bad, never as good as it seems. And I said, if I had one vote for who I wanted to be my quarterback in college football, and it's not even close, I'm picking Drew Lock every day of the week. And I know he's going to bounce back. He's eager and such a great competitor to be the best, and he wants to get everybody to take a step forward and play at a higher level. And because he understands, you know, the window for us and for him, it's really, really short. And we've got to make sure that we take advantage of every opportunity we got from here on out.
How do you spend the bye week now? You don't play again until a week from Saturday at South Carolina.
Yeah, staff-wise and with their team, it'll be a normal Sunday for us. Kids will get in late afternoon and go through a lift and a stretching routine. We'll have team meetings this evening and then offensive and defensive meetings to review the video, kind of move on from this game. And then staff-wise, we're going to treat it just like we're playing next Saturday in our preparation for South Carolina. We'll get three on-the-field practices in, plus two walkthroughs. So we'll get a good jump on our next opponent, which would be good for us. And then a number of staff will be on the road recruiting throughout the week. That'll be beneficial as well.
From a timing standpoint, does this buy in the schedule in terms of injuries and coming off of your first loss of the season, does it come at a good time?
Well, you hope that the bye ends up, you know, where you need it, and you know, you never know as the season plays out. But we absolutely, it's a perfect time for us because we are banged up physically, just like most of the teams are in college football. Last week's game, you know, against Purdue, the mental strain of that, and then leading up to this week, I thought our kids did a wonderful job on preparing and putting themselves in position to go play. It was a physical game, as most of them are going to be in our league. We've got some guys that are banged up. We'll use it really well and get them back and hopefully be full speed and ready to roll as we get into this next track.
Let me put a smile on your face. This is a week you don't have to see me, so enjoy that.
Small victories. Small victories.
Enjoy yourself. See you soon.
All right. See you, man.
That's Tigers football coach Barry Odom. It's time now to introduce you to two new members of his staff. Offensive analyst Garrick McGee, the former head coach at UAB, and the former Tiger, Ted Monachino, who a year ago was the defensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts. Bottom of the hour, as you normally hear from the Missouri players. Special treat, though, for you this week. A couple of guys that joined the staff this year and a couple of guys that have got great stories to tell. First, a former Tiger who grew up, as we told you earlier, in Bethany, Missouri, and went to South Harrison High School. Defensive analyst Ted Monachino, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Mike.
And the guy to my right was a head coach at one point in time at UAB, played quarterback for a little bit for Gary Gibbs at the University of Oklahoma. Chris Giovino will love this guy because he went to Booker T. Washington High School in Tulsa. Please welcome Garrick McGee. Mm-hmm. First of all, guys, excited to have you on. And, you know, living in St. Louis, I don't get a chance to be around practice as much, but had a chance during the preseason to come out and watch some things and just to kind of watch you guys during the sessions in both of you. Your eyes are constantly on the action that's taking place, and you're constantly taking notes. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But, Ted, for you, a kid that grew up in a very small town in North Missouri, tell me what different places this football odyssey has taken you on in your life.
Well, you know, Mike, I've been at every level of football possible. I started off as a middle school coach in Hannibal, Missouri, and was able to move on from that and be a coordinator at a couple different places, one in Pacific and back at Hannibal again, and had a bunch of really good players at both those stops. So people thought I was a pretty good coach at that point and had a chance to take that into the collegiate level and was a GA at TCU for a couple of years and went to James Madison, Southwest Missouri State, Boise State, Arizona State, and then the last 12 years in the NFL.
Yeah, in the NFL. But you know what's missing from your resume as I look at it is there's not that stop at Rockbridge High School in Columbia, Missouri. It's missing.
That was a 10-day spot. That was. You know what? In the 10 days, though, I think I got a lot done that helped coach. I had the winter program set up, and I had one team meeting.
Who followed you? What was his name?
Coach Barry Odom.
His name was Barry Odom.
Yeah, it worked out well for all of us, I think, Mike.
Yeah, Garrick McGee for you, a guy that grew up in the state of Oklahoma, went out to Arizona State, came back eventually, joined the Sooners and played there, and then got into this coaching thing. Tell us some of the path that you've taken along the way.
Well, I've been really fortunate. I've coached in a lot of different places. My wife's not happy about that because we still got boxes from other moves and things. But, you know, I started at a school called Langston University in Oklahoma. I went from there. I went to the University of Northern Iowa. Then I got lucky and went to the Jacksonville Jaguars and worked for Tom Coughlin there. Worked at UNLV for John Robinson, who's a legend. Worked at Northwestern for Randy Walker, who's the winningest coach. I think Fitz just passed his record. And then I was fortunate to be a coordinator there. Went to Arkansas, was offensive coordinator for a while. Went to UAB, was at Louisville as a coordinator. And, you know, so I'm really happy to be here. I've been blessed in my career.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that you guys, I think, would both agree is that as you make these different stops, there are people that, for whatever reasons, come into your life, and you're not sure why, but then they enrich your lives. They enrich what you're doing from a coaching perspective. Give me a couple of names, Garrick, that stand out when I describe it like that. Guys that enrich your life, guys that helped you along the way in this coaching odyssey.
Well, Tom Coughlin was one because just the discipline that he taught the staff that you have to coach in this business. There's a lot, some guys in our office that they laugh. If we have a staff meeting at, you know, 5 o'clock, that I'm normally in there about 4:45 because Coach Coughlin trained us to be early. You know, a lot of guys laugh at me about that now, say I'm extreme about it. But he was the one that really kind of shaped how I want to go about my business with, you know, just being disciplined, really working hard, always trying to find an advantage to help you win on game day. There's always something more you can do to give us a better opportunity to win. And he taught me that back when I was a young guy.
Yeah, my dad used to tell me that another man's time is more important than yours.
That's right.
You know, and
That's
so, right. Ted, how about for you?
Well, like just exactly like Garrick, there's been so many that, you know, if you try to list a few, you're going to leave some out. But a couple guys that I'll say, in all those stops, I was at a lot of different places, but I was always a Tiger. And Carl Reese was my position coach here for a short time. And I learned a lot about coaching football from Coach Reese. And I knew after I'd been around him for a year that I wanted to be in this business when I got done with my school and when I got done playing. And I realized that wasn't going to last forever. And Coach Reese, the lessons that he taught us about being great teammates and studying and mastering your trade and working on your craft and treating people with respect. Those are things that I carried with me every place I've been. And then, you know, I look back at my time even at Hannibal Middle School and learning to be a great teacher.
Sure.
And carrying that same philosophy throughout all these stops. But, you know, you can't leave out Dirk Cutter. I think Dirk had the same influence on me that Coach Coughlin did on Garrick with in terms of discipline and organization and understanding of what wins football games.
You know, isn't it amazing, too, and you think back to the Woody days, the Stull days, the number and the success on the field might not have been there, but you look at guys that went on to have great coaching careers that were either part of those teams or part of those staffs. It's pretty remarkable.
Right. Well, when you're talking about quality people that are willing to do whatever it takes to get to the places they want to get to, none of that's a surprise. And we knew as a young football team that when Coach Stoll's staff came in and Andy Reid happened to be the offensive line coach and Dirk happened to be the offensive coordinator and there were good coaches on both sides of the ball, we knew that staff was destined for some good things. Now, they weren't able to do it together as a staff. We know in this business either you win and move or you lose and move. And unfortunately, that group had to disband, and they all ended up on their feet and ended up in good places.
Garrick, the amount of time you spent with Bobby Petrino, how much did that change your philosophy on or add to your philosophy in terms of offensive football?
Well, he's the one, when it comes to coaching offensive football, he's the biggest mentor that I have. Just about how to prepare for a game, you have to be a great offensive coach, you really have to understand defensive football. Because his theory is a lot of guys just go out there and run plays, but you really need to understand what the defensive guys are taught to know which plays are really going to work in certain situations. And so he's the one that taught me how to, you know, progression teach things, how to see a defense on game day, what to look for and how to make the adjustments before they can make the adjustments and try to stay a step ahead of them. So I give him a lot of credit for teaching me how to coach offense.
You mentioned this earlier that we're going to dive into what was it about this little small school in northern Missouri, in Bethany, Missouri, South Harrison High School that produces five guys that go on to play Division I football in the state of Missouri. Larry Lithicum, Ryan Madison, Brad Madison, Tyler Llewellyn, yourself as well. You were the first one. You always have the distinction that you led the charge.
Absolutely.
But what was it about? There had to be a level of discipline that you all were taught. And to not accept kind of your circumstances in terms of where you were.
Man, we ran through a really good group of young athletes that came through town all around the same time. You know, the group of guys from Brad Madison to me, that's not a long span of years. It's a span, but to run that number of guys through that town in that short of a span was a little bit remarkable. But what our values were, which I think is what makes all people successful, is what they think is important. And at that point in all of our lives, we knew that we liked where we were, but we wanted to go somewhere else. We all wanted to expand and grow and move. And Bethany, Missouri taught us that. And we loved our town, but we had ambition, and we wanted to go someplace else.
I want to get to your roles in just a moment, but I got to go to you because you've coached at every level. And you had a chance to experience something that few people ever have a chance to, and that is to be a part of an organization and part of a coaching staff that wins the ultimate prize in the sport of football. I'm talking about in 2012 when the Ravens won the Super Bowl title, beating the San Francisco 49ers. And you were coaching linebackers at the time for John Harbaugh. So what was that experience like?
Well, going into the game, we felt great about our team. We knew that we had enough talent to win the game. We knew we had enough X's and O's knowledge to win the game. And we knew that as we went into it, we only got better as the game got closer and closer. So everything became really in very sharp focus, and we were all hyper aware of situational football. And as we got into the game, we were rolling. I don't know if anybody remembers. That was the game that the lights went out in the Superdome. But so there was this big, long break. And so when we came back out after the break, then it all became a little bit surreal. It was a little bit out of body because we didn't understand how that could have happened, right? And then all of a sudden, they start chipping away. They're back in the game. And then at the end of the game, I'm standing there on the sideline with my son. And I said, okay, when we tackle the guy after this, after we kick off after this safety, let's celebrate together. So we got him on the ground, and it was Ted Ginn Jr. We got him on the ground, and my son Sam's at the top of the numbers running with his fists up in the air, and I got nobody to celebrate as the clock strikes zero. So yeah. it was a great experience, and it's one of those situations and experiences that you really can't compare to any other ones.
You had some great players in that linebackers room, including a Hall of Famer in Ray Lewis.
Absolutely.
What defines guys that are at that level from guys that are at this level?
Well, it's funny that you ask, because Coach asked me that right after I came. And, you know, I think that the approach is the biggest difference. I think that they understand that there's a finite number of days and years and snaps that they're going to get, and they're going to make the most of every one of them. And every minute that they have, they're going to cherish that minute and squeeze the life out of it as they go through it. But, you know, I think that especially with guys like Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs and even Haloti Ngata and Ed Reed, all those guys, they had a learner's mentality. They had a learner's spirit, and they wanted to learn everything they could learn, and they took copious notes every single day. It was never, I already know that, so I'm not really going to pay attention here. They approached every day like it was the most important day of their lives, and it was.
So, Garrick, for you, why was this opportunity one that you wanted to get involved with, coming to Missouri as an offensive analyst?
Yeah, well, I had a conversation with Coach Odom about it, and we talked about what I was looking to do for the next year. He talked about what he was interested in and what he was looking for. And it was a good fit just because, you know, I knew a lot about Barry and how he went about his business. And I really wanted to get into the program and learn more about his day-to-day operations and how was he motivating the team and managing the team. And it's really been a blessing for me. I always say the one thing that we may not be doing is selling to the recruits what's really going on inside our building. Because there's a lot of development of men that are going on that no one really can see. I mean, we got obviously one of the biggest games that we've been a part of coming up, you know, in the next couple of days. But on Thursdays, we take time out of the day to teach them how to be men. And the meeting has nothing to do with football or the design or the plans to win the game. It's just about how to develop and be a man. And I just give them a lot of credit for that. You know, when a parent sends a kid to the program, they're looking for the coach to teach them how to develop and become men. And I think Coach does a really good job of going out of his way to raise these kids.
Ted, how about for you?
Well, it's the same. It was an opportunity to come home and to help the program that I grew up in. And I think that as I talked with Coach right before the start of training camp, I think that we both had a very similar view of what the role could be. I know that it's probably different at a lot of different programs, but as we talked, it was can I assist, can I support, and can I help simplify some of the things we're doing defensively. And those are things that our staff has appreciated, because I think that we've been able to do that together. And I also think that being a guy that's familiar with the program and the city and the way that you have to recruit here, I think that was also a great plus. And I knew that from a toughness and a football IQ and a football character standpoint, there wasn't anybody, just like Coach McGee said, there wasn't anybody I had any more respect for than Coach Odom, and I wanted to be here and be part of it.
You know, both of you, and I mentioned this when you first came on, is talking with Ted Monachino, Missouri's defensive analyst, and of course, Gary McGee, the offensive analyst, and Garrick most recently at the University of Illinois, Ted most recently with the Indianapolis Colts. When I watch you at practice, and it's been a limited number of times that I've been there, and I want that to be clear, but you guys are always eye on the action, taking notes. So what are the things that you're observing? What are you looking for?
Well, you're just trying to watch, you know, the coaches sometimes are so far involved in it, and they're coaching every step and every detail. You want to have a bigger picture of what's going on and seeing if it all connects together. And so you're taking the notes because you don't want to bother them while they're coaching. But when we get back to the meeting room, you have a list of notes of things that, you know, that we're, this is play probably is going to work. The way we ran this defense today, it probably wasn't the look we're going to get. The way they run this pressure is going to be a little different. So you're just pretty much being like an eye in the sky, myself or Derek, to make sure when we get back to the meeting room that everything, every, you know, I is dotted and every T is crossed.
We do the same thing on our side. I sit back, and I think big picture is not a great descriptor for what I do. I look at structure. I look at overall defensive structure and see if there are ways that, like I said, I can assist, support, and simplify. And if there's a way that we can clean something up from a technique standpoint or from a fit standpoint or from a coverage standpoint, those are the things that I give our staff when we come back in off the field.
I think one of the other things that I think is important with this role is we're a week ahead, in our studies, meaning like we're already watching South Carolina. We have a plan of who South Carolina is, right, what their structure is, how they go about running their defense, what pressures they're running, so that when we get done with this game on Saturday and we start on South Carolina, I can go in and present to the staff, this is who they are, and it kind of cuts down the time that they have to spend figuring out who they are.
Well, and what a terrific opportunity, too, I would imagine, for not only Barry, who's in his third season as the head coach here, but also Derek, who's in his first season as a coordinator, Ryan, who's in his first season coordinator, to get an experience lens, if you will, that's viewing it from a much different angle than what those guys are. That's nothing but a win-win in my mind.
Right. It's a completely different role than Coach and I have been in most recently. But it's a role that I think both of us have really learned to appreciate, yep, because it's been a great lab for both of us. And the beauty of it is we sit about 4 feet from each other in the same office. So as we get through into our day, I can show him things that I think, okay, tell me what you think about this look and what they're doing. And he does the same thing with me. So those conversations, those football conversations in the analyst office, they've been great for me as a coach, and it doesn't matter what level or what position.
What do you remember just about the time you spent here at the University of Missouri? Is there something that maybe changed you during your time here at Mizzou?
Well, I had a chance to talk with the defense about my time here, and you know, it's funny. It's all about growing up and when you go away and becoming a man. And I wish I would have started that process earlier than I did. And there aren't regrets, because I understand that I made choices that I made in those days. But the thing about it is once I did decide to grow up and become a man, this was a formative place for me. And I was fortunate enough to be around some men that helped form me in a lot of in the right direction. For instance, like I said, Coach Reed and, you know, Steve Miller and some of the guys that I had a chance to be around in my time here. This is a special place, and it was awesome when I walked in. I heard somebody in the room say, "There goes Amy Monachino's husband." And is that cool or what? You know, that I'm able to come home and somebody recognizes me as a friend of theirs husband, which is great. Yeah. And she's just as awesome as everybody would believe. And I love you, babe.
How have you found Columbia, Missouri?
It's a lot bigger than I thought. Lot more activity than me and my wife thought. My wife and kids are here. My kids are in school. They love it. My wife is active. She likes to be around doing things, and she didn't realize that the city or town was as big as it is, and there's enough, you know, stuff going on. But I do have a story about Mizzou. My experience, you didn't ask me about my experience with Mizzou.
Well, I was going to get there eventually.
Well, my experience is I was at Arkansas, and I thought that I was going to get Dorio Green to come to Arkansas. And he called me one day and said, Coach, I'm going to Mizzou. Forget that. And then a year later, it was Marcus Lucas.
Yeah.
And I thought I had him. And he called and said, nah, man, I'm going to Mizzou. So that's what I remember.
Those
we
are
lost
two stories.
Really good players.
Hey, guys.
Great players.
Thank you so much for your time. Another former Tiger is pitching in to help his alma mater. Mike Owens had a terrific career, both with Anheuser-Busch and then most recently with Gander Mountain. He's retired from both of those positions and is now trying to get former Missouri players involved in the fundraising efforts to build new practice fields for Barry Odom's football program. Earlier, I had a chance to visit with Mike Owens. Joined now on the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast by a former Missouri Tiger who has taken on a role of helping to lead the fundraising to build new practice fields, much needed new practice fields, and improvements for Barry Odom's football program. We're joined by Mike Owens. How are you today?
Mike, I'm doing great. Thanks. Really appreciate the opportunity to visit and talk about this project.
Why did you take it on?
As you know, I love Mizzou football. And that's pretty clear. I think everybody knows that. And I think anyone that played at Mizzou and spent as much time with people like Coach Onofrio and Coach Cadillac and Gary Pinkel and Barry Odom and Mike Alden and Jim Stark, I love helping. And I just want to see our program be successful.
And so the decision was made that really there needs to be a lot of work done on the practice fields behind the Matsey building at the corner of Providence and Stadium. Give me an idea of just how bad those fields are, Mike.
Well, I personally went and visited the fields with Barry Odom, his staff, and the TSF group. And actually, over time, I think the fields have just had dirt added to them, you know, year after year after year, and they really suffer from the ability to drain, to keep the grass growing in our, you know, seasonal weather. But they also lack sufficient lighting. We play a lot of night football games in the SEC, and they really can't practice at night to really prepare for those situations, especially when they're playing on grass fields down south. So we really are at somewhat of a competitive disadvantage with what we ask our players to practice on.
So the scope of the project is what?
The scope of the project is kind of a four-part process. We have three grass practice fields today. In the end, we'll end up with a 100-yard turf field that will allow the team to practice in any weather condition outdoors, as well as two grass fields. Permanent lighting, and when we talk about lighting, stadium-style lighting, and we'll have permanent filming towers. Those scissor towers are not very safe, and we really care about the safety of our videographers as much as we care about the safety of our players and coaches. So they will have an ideal practice facility that will help us recruit and also will coincide with the opening of the new South End Zone.
You have taken on the responsibility to reach out to former players to get them involved from a fundraising standpoint. To date, what has been their reaction?
Well, I can tell you this. The reaction has been outstanding. We really just started in the last couple of weeks, and I think I have pledges from upwards to 30 former football players amounting to about $100,000 thus far. The process is I'm reaching out to players from various coaching eras, you know, starting with the Devine era, followed by Onofrio and Powers and Woody and Stull. And I'm finding leaders that will help me basically take a captain's role and reach out to the players from their era. And thus far, it's been very good, but we're really early in the process and we're just getting the word out to as many people as we can.
And among those that have made a pledge is Barry Odom, correct?
Yes, Barry Odom's made the pledge. He did that obviously because he's a former Tiger. And the thing that I like best about this project, which I think is going to make it very successful, is it's players, former players helping future and current players. It's a very identifiable gift. As you make this gift, it's going to go, 100% to the renovation of our practice facilities. And, our goal is to raise the money and celebrate at next year's spring game and dedicate these new practice fields in which all former players had the opportunity to participate and ideally make a gift or pledge to the program.
If fans that are listening to this podcast want to make a donation, do they just contact the TSF office?
Yes, they can contact the TSF office with Brad Luce, and he'll be happy to work with fans because we're going to need fans. We're trying to raise, in excess of $3 million. And, while our goal is lofty, I'm not sure that we can get it all from former players. But I just had a former player's email address that I reached out to, and it was wrong. And it ended up being one of my neighbors. And he emailed me back and said, I'm not the former football player from 1974, but I want to make a $1,000 gift in the name of a former player. So I think that would be another great way for our fans, if they wanted to make a contribution in the name of a former Tiger football player, we would be very excited about that. And I've talked to a couple other fans recently, and they're going to do the same thing.
So what's your hook? When you talk to former players like yourself who have had such, many great experiences throughout the course of your life, all related to the University of Missouri, and not only the relationships that you built there, the friendships that you built there, the experiences that you had, how it helped you in terms of setting you up for your professional life, what is your hook to the former player to get them in?
Oh, it's simple. And I go back to it's former players helping future and current players. We have a former player who's our head coach. We have former players who are on the staff. And we should do everything we can to help make them successful. And on top of that, great memories, those practice fields, those locker rooms. That's where those friendships were forged. I've also had three walk-on players thus far give me significant pledges. And these are guys who never had a scholarship, who never really played on the football field on Saturday, but they are so grateful for the relationships that they built and the memories that they had, at Mizzou being on the football team. Thus far, it's been a very easy process, and it's more about reaching out and building awareness and getting people, getting the ask to that person. But it's not been a hard sell at all to get players to give kind of on an average of about $1,000 each, really not having a lot of struggle with those guys at this point.
Visiting with Mike Owens, the former Missouri Tiger that's leading the fundraising efforts to help build new practice fields for Barry Odom's football program. I'm sitting here in my home office in St. Louis, and I'm looking at a picture on the wall of a smiling John Cadillac. We were both blessed to have him be a part of our life for a significant amount of time. As I say John Cadillac, Mike Owens, what goes through your mind?
Well, I will tell you, Mike, that I'll never forget my first impression of Coach Cadillac. I'm at my high school, and he's coming to Jackson, Mississippi to recruit my older brother, Don, who was also on the football team with me. And he had on a trench coat, a hat, and was smoking a cigar. And he made me laugh from that moment on. And he was a father-like figure, always told you the way it was, fantastic storyteller, and just a guy that, to me, represented what Mizzou stands for. And he had, thousands of friends. I'm just pretty sure he never met somebody who wasn't a friend. And his commitment to our university and our athletic department was second to none. I always tell people I probably did more to shorten his career than any player he ever had. You know, I had the record punt snap. He never let me forget. But he just, you know, it's just fantastic just to think about him. I'm actually looking at his picture here in my office as well as we're talking about this.
You know, speaking of the infamous punt snap, anyone that would listen, he would tell them that the longest punt snap in Missouri history was by Mike Owens, and it went some 75 yards sailing over the punter's head. Set the record straight. How far did it really go?
Well, it went about 50 yards, and it stopped, thank God, on the 10-yard line. So I think we lost 80 yards of field position. But the part I like the best is that he will always finish that with, and it didn't hurt his career. So somehow he equated my punt snapping ability with my business acumen. So it was, he always made me laugh. But as soon as that happens in a game, I get 10 emails and 5 phone calls from people just to make sure I haven't forgotten in 1974 that I sailed this ball over the punter's head.
You mentioned your business career and your business acumen. You had a successful business career. You know, eventually working with Anheuser-Busch and building a career there, Gander Mountain taking over there late in your business life. You started with the Tiger Scholarship Fund out of college, am I right?
Well, I actually was a public accountant when I first got out of college, and I went to grad school at Ohio University and got my master's degree in sports marketing. So then I was fortunate enough to have a position with the Tiger Scholarship Fund in the late 70s. Mm-hmm. But I met a bunch of people from Anheuser-Busch, and that really started to intrigue me. And I was fortunate enough to be hired in sales and marketing, and then ultimately ran sales and marketing for Anheuser-Busch 26 years later. So, you know, all the things that I learned from football and business school, you know, built the foundation for my successful career outside of Mizzou.
Mike, best wishes with this fundraising initiative. Again, if folks want to get involved, they can contact Brad Luce at the University of Missouri's Tiger Scholarship Fund. And we wish you very, very well. And thank you for your time today.
Oh, and thank you very much. And, you know, if anybody wants to reach out to me, my email is mjowens61@gmail.com, and I'm more than happy to visit with anybody as we try to drive this program home.
mjowens61@gmail.com. Mike Owens, thank you.
Mike, thanks very much for giving me the opportunity to talk about this program.
I'm Mike Kelly. That does it for this week's edition of the Inside Mizzou Athletics Podcast, brought to you by Shelter Insurance.
This has been Inside Mizzou Athletics with Mike Kelly, brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.